Welcome to the Bitcoin Nova. Today I'm here with Jeeves and we are going to be talking about Bitcoin and consciousness and how everything is connected. He is a student of Zen and I definitely want to hear more about that. And I love the whole world that I'm about to explore right now with you guys. I know a little bit about a lot of stuff, but not a lot about one thing, I guess. So it's just really fun for me to just hear about different perspectives and how Bitcoin has shaped your world, or how you came to Bitcoin because of what led you here, like what you've been studying. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, thanks for having me, Stacy. I usually call myself a curious monkey. That's why my handle on X is Jeeves the Curious.
Mm.
I always have this insatiable quest of asking questions. Sometimes it's more ridiculous than the others, but it never stops me from questioning. And so I usually introduce myself as a monkey for the same reason, because I'm always up to something, be it when I was a kid or now. Now I'm probably a little more deliberate, but back then it was even more probably wild and just breaking open things and checking everything out.
Kind of like Curious George, is that why?
Yes, there you go, Curious George. He was one of the influencers as well for me.
Yeah.
Just keep doing some monkey business, right? And so I have been this constant explorer of the mind for the longest time. It's interesting. I've never thought of when I really started doing it, but it's a habit that kept me going, more or less. And I come from a small town in India, south of India, called Bangalore. It was a small town when I grew up. Now it has a kind of sizable footprint, in global news, I can say, because of its export of engineers.
Well, that's what you
So that's what I am. I'm one of the engineers who got exported from there, I guess.
What do you study in engineering? What kind of engineer?
I started over there. We call it electronics. Over here, we call it electrical. So I did my focus on semiconductors. I ended up here at Texas A&M, where I did my master's in electrical engineering, and so that's how I really ended up being in the United States. And then someone thought I was good enough to be hired, and I got sucked into corporate world, and then the world changed completely for me. And it's been 15 glorious years of a lot of growth and a lot of learning.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't a single day where I've ever regretted being here. This place is great, and I found great friends. And so during my teenage years, I probably ended up asking a whole lot of questions about why this and why that and how the world works, and I didn't really have a definitive answer to any of those things. I've seen my parents struggle for pinching pennies and struggling every day. It was a common theme, and you'll find that as a common theme for most of people coming from India, because at least those who were in my generation in the 80s, but nobody ever questioned why things were getting expensive as they were. But you always heard prices are always up, right? Like going up.
Yeah, nobody does ask why. Nobody does.
Nobody asks the question why, and nobody could answer when I asked those questions. And all I heard was, we couldn't afford this, or we couldn't do that because everything's expensive.
That's funny because so many things in the world that you're curious about that you try to find an answer for, that trying to understand, the universe and everything, there's always more questions when you come up with certain questions, you find answers that give you more questions. It's like this never-ending thing. But when you ask about this thing that we're living through, inflation, and when you actually ask that question, why is this happening, and people don't know, if you do try to figure it out and get to the bottom of it, there is an answer. And there's a reason, so it's simple to understand that this isn't the way it should be. And that's a really profound thing for somebody who is curious to find out why our world is the cer a certain way that it is. At least in this situation, you can find the real root of a problem.
Right. And even fundamental questions like how money works is a hard question to answer these days, because we have not been given the opportunity to really learn and explore. Of course, the internet blew up, post 2008. I guess everybody got to a point where we were past the dot-com bubble, and then now we have all sorts of platforms showing up where people are actually socially interacting and exchanging information and also exchanging experiences. And I kind of understood that I don't really need to, buy all the books in the world to try to figure something out. Somebody else already knows. I just need to find the right person. And content became a big deal. So it's great to see that, that's how you and I connected, right? Like we have this kind of internet of consciousness to
Yes.
kind of find each other in pursuit of certain answers.
Yes. We are always looking for answers. We feel like the community that we have is it's a group of people who understand the root cause of the problem, and we all have just so many thoughts on it. We just want to, just discuss it with somebody who understands us. And there aren't that many people in the world that understand it. So it's just really great to be able to have our thoughts heard. Because you try to talk to people about it in the real world, and it's like you don't get too much of a response, or people just don't care. And it's like mind-boggling to us that how do people not care? This is a really big problem. Like, this is something that not because money matters, but money is a representation of our time that we spent
Right.
working. So it's like you're working more time for less of that exchanged currency that they're giving you. And it's a big problem because it roots into our society, and it causes all these deep issues, and it's crazy to us. So I think that having a place where we can all connect and actually show each other that we see your thoughts. And I think it kind of all started with the Verified Bitcoiners group.
Right.
That's kind of where I began this whole finding you and finding other people like you. With us, it's like actual community, unique perspectives, and we're so grateful for it.
Right. And also it's more relatable. You add a little more value to my own train of thought, and then it builds on like that, and then others join, and that's how the community really is. The Bitcoin army is pretty
Yeah,
incredible in
because
terms of.
it creates inspiration back and forth between all of us. So it's like one little spark. I like that quote, and it reminds me, because you said monkey is earlier what you remind like you, but it reminds me of that. There's a quote from, there was a movie called, I think, Monkey Man, and my favorite quote from that is one small ember can light up everything, or something like that. And it's like I love that quote because it's like one person's, like Satoshi lit up everything. He was that one small ember. But
Right.
also when it comes to our ideas and our thoughts about it, you have some insightful thought, and then people build on it, and it inspires you to either create art or to create a podcast or create, any
Right.
sort of thing that, grows this awareness in this community. And inspiration is the reason we're all doing more, because we're ignited, like we're fired up to, for you to speak and to come on to, it's your first podcast, for you to have the fuel to want to do this is incredible, because without this community, you probably would have taken longer before you decided to speak and show up on a podcast.
Probably would have never spoken.
Right? So, and I don't want to say I pressured you, but it's like I think you definitely volunteered. I'm pretty sure about that, but I think that I know that a lot of people when they come on here, they're nervous. And like I was telling you earlier today, I'm still nervous, to do this, but why not? We know so much about the space. We've been in it forever. And again, I want to hear more from you guys and actually get to know your thoughts, because it's a lot easier to speak them out instead of just writing them, in tweets, so we get to hear a lot more from each other this way.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But coming back to just learning from questioning, I think I stumbled upon first principles kind of accidentally. It was not taught to me in school. Most of my schooling, I was taught to regurgitate and memorize, and I wasn't really good at it
Meaning
because I wouldn't get to understand the real value of what I'm trying to learn. It was unheard of. Like I couldn't ask specific applications of what I was trying to learn. And it also came to, things like whatever we got introduced to when it comes to economics. Like, it wasn't a whole lot. Like, we still do learn a little bit as part of history, and then we still didn't really understand much of it, but we use it on a day-to-day basis, and it's hard. Like, we literally study. We take loans. We take student loans so that we go all the way to university, get your degree, get your job. It's still it. We never go back to the point of why we are doing all that we are doing. It's like we are kind of coded into place to be seated, for like 8 hours trying to get stuff done and trying to create this falsified value. So it's just like the fiat money where you're just false printing things into existence. It's almost like you're forced to think of productizing every single thing that you can think of so that it has a false set of value creation. Like, wrapping something and giving it a fancy name, it suddenly becomes somewhat valuable.
Like I think, yeah, you're right. Like this, the setting of school and the 8 hours a day sitting in school and having to re like memorize things and having the way that we're taught is like it gives it they give a value to the fact that, oh, look, you got a really high score on this test. Now that means that you have this title now. Now, that means you made it, that you did great. But really, the people who are, like me, I love school. Even though I'm a hairdresser now, I didn't continue on to college, but
Right.
I did have a love for school. I loved doing homework. I was really into math and reading and all that stuff. But I feel like because my brain is a more creative mind and I'm a more visual, like a hands-on learner type of thing, I feel like the memorization part of it wasn't the easiest for me in some subjects. It was math I was better at, but the other ones I felt like it makes you feel like you're not as good of a student, and it's like it punishes those creative thinkers that are the ones that think outside the box,
Right.
because those are the people that they're like, oh, you can't, you're not good at being a robot, like, you know what I mean? You're not good at. So it's like,
Exactly.
right? So it's like you, but for having that critical thinking and having the creative mindset, and you don't get rewarded for that. It's not put into that fancy package of like, oh, this great label of what you've done in school. It's like you're not fitting into the mold.
Right, and that's what they want. The financial system works exactly like how the school system works, right? It's like you're trying to fit in to a pre-existing mold, and if you don't, then you're not part of the system. You don't have a choice, right? You really don't have a choice at that point because you have to survive. Everything ends up becoming a survival, instinct, and you have to do certain things, even though you hate it,
Yeah.
simply because you want to, be, you just want to make it
Yeah, you have to fit in with
to
society.
stay afloat.
Yeah. And then I think that that's why they don't teach things like For example, when you actually do find out the truth about what money really is, fiat. Fiat means, just for anyone who's watching who doesn't know, it's just all currencies that are man-made currencies. But I think that you're not taught, you're taught about a little bit. I remember learning about balancing a checkbook and maybe about debt or something, but really it's more like how to balance a checkbook. You have money coming in, you have money going out, but you're never learning about why money is created and how much of it is created. And you don't learn about inflation or what the rules are, because the rules are based on the people that are in charge of the currencies of the world. The men in charge, the women in charge, they are the ones who create these rules on how much they can print. And I think if they told more people the truth, then people would know from a young age that, wow, this is a manipulated tool to be able to benefit those that are at the highest part of society. Because when there is more money and created, we all know that it benefits the rich and creates a wealth gap, and it's not good for anybody stuck in the middle class, which is the majority of the world, you know, the Americans, the world, whatever. So I feel like it's if they were to teach that, then people would, you know, have an uprising, you know. So Bitcoin is the peaceful protest, right? So once you find out about what it really is, and when you learn about Bitcoin, you're like, I don't agree with this system, and I'm going to take the escape hatch. I'm going to switch to the system that is not controlled by greed and human, you know, human emotion and stuff like that. So, and more people escaping that box that we're all kind of put into, you know.
And it's the indoctrination camp that keeps the system going. You don't want an uprising. And I think every few hundred years or so, we have some kind of revolution, some uprising in some country because, the government is doing something shady. Whether it's elected government or otherwise, it's always the issue of unrestricted power.
That's probably why fear is a tool for governments, because, you know, it's like, hey, you need us, because if it wasn't for us, all this fear spreading around the world, we're helping with these things, and you need us. So if it wasn't for us, what would you do? Like, it's like we're afraid, like people are too afraid to ever question the fact that they might not be the most truthful people or not honest people. You know, so it's like you just they kind of use fear as a tool to keep us in order.
Instilling distrust among people is their best way of trying to keep them, always divided or subdued, and they won't ask questions, and there won't be any curious monkeys to really raise questions about why the government is doing what it's doing. Well, not all of government is really bad. I think some level of government is probably needed. As much as we like being anarchists,
Oh, yeah.
I think some order in chaos is always welcome.
But it's the part that is not welcome is like how the separation of money and state. It's like they should not have the power to manipulate in order to hurt people, because we don't know any better, or most of the people don't know any better. So the fact that they could be a government, you know, with laws, and you know, to create order and to create systems that are beneficial for humanity. The point is that we vote them in, they should work for us, but they shouldn't be you know, handling currency and handling it you know, irresponsibly. And they
And
are, and we're tired of it.
unfortunately, they end up handling it the way exactly they shouldn't be, right? It's almost like too perfect for them. Like the temptation is too much.
Yeah,
It's like
the human greed.
Eve in the Garden of Eden,
Yes.
but she couldn't help herself. She had to bite the apple, right? And so
Exactly.
it becomes inevitable at some point when if they have a button of taking total control, they will use it. That option is always available for them.
And that is, I love that you made that point, because and that's why people who blame people who do this, it's like they don't know, they can't help themselves. That's just they were given this power and they don't know how to stop. It's like greed is too strong, the power is too strong. Like that's human nature, and it's we are humans, and that's why when it came to Bitcoin, I think people that are curious to find out what it is were so impressed and amazed by it and Satoshi, because when it was created in a way where Satoshi put it out there, remained anonymous, took off, never touched a coin that he ever mined in his wallet. And it's like, how did that human being do that? Because he is human, like we all are. How did he not come
Right.
back and take some of that out of that wallet? How did he, is he, that's why we speculate, is he either, has he passed away? Is he still here? And he's just that superhuman of a person. Like, how did this happen? And we're just amazed by it because greed does usually win with people. And for this person to be that selfless and that angry at the system that is stealing from us, to be able to just create this and just walk away is just the, it's, it is like like higher evolution of a human being to do what
That's
he did.
true. You know, in Zen there is a term for such people, and I mean it when I say it. There's a term called Bodhisattva, and Bodhisattvas are those enlightened beings who are almost ready to be one with the universe, right? They can just become the light itself, but they decide to come back to human form, to earth, to help others find their way. And I feel Satoshi is one of those kind of person, people, group of
Yeah.
people
Yeah, because we don't know if it
who
was one person or multiples,
yep.
right? We don't know who it was or he was or she. But you're right. I feel like that's why people not speculate, but almost like kind of make the connection, even though it's totally insane, that he's either a time traveler or something, that it's like why at this time, or at the time that it was released, was during a time that the, you know, there was bailouts happening in the first block that was in the first you know, quote that was embedded in the blockchain was at the time of the chancellor on the brink of second bailout or whatever. So like
Right.
at that time he, you know, this problem became solved, the final pieces of the puzzle that Satoshi finished were released at that time. So you think, okay, time traveler or just a super enlightened being that decided to come, like how is this person just human? I mean, it's just crazy because human greed went, I mean, honestly, we've all done it, we've all been through it. But I think
Right.
learning about Bitcoin sort of helps people who aren't into Zen realize what enlightenment could mean. Because I think once you become, once you understand, like start to understand Bitcoin, you actually realize that you move beyond your ego. Once you learn about Bitcoin, your ego is kind of stripped because you feel like you don't think that the things that used to matter to you matter the same. And you have to kind of have this dropping of your ego to even just try to understand what's happening and why Bitcoin is special.
Right. And we'll stop chasing the carrot at the end of the stick since we were in school. Like, you know, you go from middle school to high school and then to college and then to university and then to a job and then you want the next promotion. And each time, like, you're chasing the next thing. You're never present.
Yes.
And that's the one thing that really hit me. As much as I was a student of Zen, even before I started working, I got sucked in so hard that I knew the theory, but I never really thought about it until after the pandemic, right? I never questioned, like, as feverishly as I do right now, about the government and the things the government of any country really does to its people and its agencies. When it comes to surveillance or you know pushing agendas either through mainstream or through medicine could be a lot of things and my personal experience has been holy cow you're on your own when it comes to things like this and shouldn't be really relying on the government especially when it comes to money, your time, and your health. As much as you think healthcare is important as a system to be existing for a functional society, I think health is important
Yeah.
as a primary goal. Usually we end up thinking in terms of, oh, there is good healthcare, so you know people should be healthy. That's not really true. And so The pandemic really made me stop and think because that's the only time I could stop and think. Otherwise, I was traveling, I was like meeting new
That's a good
people.
point, yeah.
There was so much that I was doing, but I never thought about the things I had to. I was so stuck in the fiat game for so long, but then the pandemic kind of gave me that breather I needed. I think it was a necessary breather. It was quite a interesting time for a lot of people, I guess, to sit back at home and start looking at what's happening in their own societies and start questioning about why this is happening. And so I was stuck here. My parents, of course, they were in India, and when my dad got COVID, I couldn't really go. And well, unfortunately, I lost him
Oh, I'm sorry.
in 2021.
Due
That
to
that's
COVID?
when, yes. So he was, yeah,
Sorry.
he was diabetic. So that kind of complicated everything, right? So I
And like you
think
couldn't
he.
travel either to visit, when you knew that.
Nope. There was no way that I could go, even if it was an emergency. There were no flights allowed, and it was just
But now
a
that you look
big.
back, it's like it anchors you more because you think about what's happened since, and you just think that like there's like we all ended up getting it. We all ended up like I ended up getting it. I was terrible. Even after I got vaccinated, I still got really, really sick.
Right.
So it's like, did it even do anything for me, or am I just prone to getting really sick from COVID? Like, why did? So it's like I get they were trying to
Right.
not overrun hospitals, but it angers you when you think about how the fact that you couldn't see your father, it's like you didn't have a chance if you wanted to, and that's the way that we were controlled so much during that time, was just such a
Like
life-changing.
masking and like force jabs. So I could finally go, and I think it was almost like a year to the dot after my father had departed. I could finally go, and but I had to take three jabs before I could get into the plane. And these are the questions, like, and this is exactly why critical thinking, as you were saying earlier, is so critical. You have to question certain things. Sometimes we take things for granted, but when we start asking questions, we realize, oh, we don't know most of what we think we were okay with
Let's say,
earlier.
I think when you were talking about how, with COVID, you had time to think because you weren't running around busy. That's where that whole like meditation, like self-reflection, and if you're too busy running around, you don't have time to sit down with your own thoughts. You don't have time to ask yourself questions about how you feel about things to actually kind of like have a conversation with yourself about what's going on. You just kind of
Right.
follow the rat race, and you're just kind of like a hamster on a wheel. And you're not just being present. Like when you're present, you're not just present with what's happening around you. You could be present just in your own thoughts, in your silence, and actually like think about try. It's mainly about not thinking, right? Like I think when you're trying to meditate, you should mainly be thinking about just kind of like letting thoughts come in and letting them go, and just not dwelling on certain ideas. But sometimes that's what brings, actually an epiphany, because you actually realize something
Right.
when you're not letting those thoughts consume you and letting that one idea that's kind of sticking in your brain so much that you normally can't stop thinking about, when you just let yourself kind of like say, okay, yes, I see you thought, thank you for stopping by, just get out of here now. I'm ready to leave.
Right. Yes. And you have that conversation, and it kind of is a cleansing. It's almost like it's a mix of both cleansing and what I call like a game of join the dots. Sometimes, these one thought leads to the other, but it's not, because the trouble is a lot of us get sucked into a single thought, and then we run along with it. But well, meditation is not about like emptying your thoughts or anything. It's just like you're not associating yourself to those thoughts anymore. So you separate yourself completely from the process. And then you become the observer,
Server, yeah.
and see. So instead of always having, and during that same phase, you will realize, you know, the observer then will become the observed, because then you will start realizing there is a higher version of yourself, like looking after everything that you're doing, and you will start to kind of relate to a very at a very different dimension
I love that.
when it comes to really processing things. And so that's why meditation is really a matter of separating your physical self from your higher self, so that you can see that you're actually pulling you're just zooming out your view of field of view to see exactly what's happening. Otherwise, you're all getting down to these tiny little details of what we want to do next, and how we want to get to the next goal, and what's
That's
next, what's coming
something.
up.
What you just said reminds me of something about what Mauro said about perspective, like looking at, I forgot what she actually compared it to, but looking at something from the ground, like if let's say you're looking at a cornfield and you're looking at it from the ground, it looks different, but when you see it from above, it looks completely different because you have a different perspective on it. But I
Right.
love how you said the observer becomes the observed, because that's probably like when you think about enlightenment, you think like you've reached a point where, you know, and it takes a lot to get there, a lot of practice, but I think you can have moments of it. You know, I think you can experience it in bits, even if you're not super practiced, you can experience that feeling like where you're observing your own thoughts, and then you realize like you're above that even. Like you feel like you're just not, you're outside of yourself. So it's a very, very freeing thing, because you're more than just the fiat game. You're more than just what you're stuck in, the real world problems that you think are such a big deal now, but in 10 minutes they'll be over. You know, that whenever you find yourself having very strong emotions about a thing, he did say that try to think about it when you feel like you're getting upset or you're crying or angry. Yeah, like pretend like you're watching, like you are yourself watching another person, and think, would I want to be friends with that person right now? Like, because that person, you'd have to take yourself out and look at how you are and be like, do I like how that person is acting? Would I want to be around that person? So it's like he was literally just saying become an observer, but in your everyday, like you don't have to specifically sit down to meditate, but just be aware of your emotions and how you are acting in front of other people. And it's hard to do, and that takes practice, but I think that that is really important to just be more aware, you know?
Because a lot of us do things out of habit, force of habit, and we don't put a whole lot of value to what we're doing. We just do it sometimes to fill in the void. It just so you're giving meaningless input to a machine, and the obvious output is going to be meaningless again. But I think if we decide to love ourselves a little more, then we will be able to not run away from the void and try to fill something, random with it, but try to understand what that void really is,
And maybe the void's
because
not
it
so
becomes part of
scary.
you. You are part of the void itself.
Right. And I think that's why people, when they feel like they are trying to fill it, I feel like you're onto like making me just realize that like the void is, it should be not a scary place. You should be okay with silence and with that hollow space. Like you should be okay with space. You should have space. You should be able to create space. And the void is, I guess, space. And I think that when you're when like even before COVID, I do remember my past, and I think a lot of people were a lot like me, where you were trying to fill the void with with material things. Like you think that you get that dopamine rush when you purchase something new, and you think, oh, I got this new thing, great. And then you're looking for the next new thing to kind of make you get that dopamine rush, and it's making you feel like you need these things to feel that, like just to get a little bit of excitement or something. But it's, again, I don't know if it was COVID that did it, or I don't know if it was just finding Bitcoin that did it, but you just realize these things aren't important. And I think the more that you declutter your life and create space again in your life, like you're creating, like when you have a cluttered house and clutter all around you, you don't have space, you don't have room to move. So I think when you start to get rid of things, you also notice, wow, I just literally spent how much money that I worked for on these things that I don't care about, and now I'm just getting rid of. So I think you just start to realize, and then when you find Bitcoin, you're like, okay, I'm saving my time in this money. Why would I go and blow it on something I'm not going to even care about later? So I feel like your mindset changes, and you're comfortable with space. You like having space. You find space nice. And I think alone, like being alone with your thoughts, is a nice thing, because I feel like a lot of times you don't always find Bitcoin unless you take time to dig deep and actually ask questions that you normally wouldn't have time to.
True. And it's important to have these conversations. Sometimes we do we whenever we are driving, we try to turn on the radio, or we play, like we stream like music or something. Like we wouldn't want our thoughts to kind of invade our present, more or less. So we try to drown it out, just because we are probably everyone's like overworked, everyone's tired, everyone has the same problems, I guess. Different flavors of the same problem. And so it all comes down to why we have so much of an issue, and it's because we are a consuming economy, right? Everything is based on consumption, productivity, and but is it really, it does GDP really have to be about consuming mindlessly, and people celebrating the next GDP print simply because the consumer was happy to spend?
Yeah.
Spend what? Like fake money
Yeah.
on fake
Yeah,
things,
and fake things that you don't, it's just wasteful. And it's also bad for the environment then. It's like you're just buying things to just chuck them and you don't care about it. But it's like that kind of reminds me of when you were saying earlier too about our healthcare system. And it's like when you have a society who you are so busy and you're filling the void with consumerism instead of just actually trying to take care of your body. And you don't have, like, there's so many people that you talk to that, they know what they should do to be healthy, right? To like eat healthy, to work out, to walk every day, whatever. But they're just like, I'm too tired. I'm too tired to do it. I work too much. I don't have time. So this society, this world that we're living in, this fiat world that you're working to death. You work till you're 75 and you don't have time to take care of yourself and eat properly and work out because you have no energy to do so. And the people that do it, you find you get more energy, but it's just hard for people to get out of that vicious cycle. So they're stuck in this gerbil, whatever, hamster wheel, and they're just working every day, just trying to get through another day. Until what? It's like you just spend money and keep working. And it's like, what? Like, I don't get it. So it's like we need to get back to, instead of worrying about healthcare being the greatest, the root of everything is eating natural food that comes from the earth. Like eating whole foods is like, that's medicine. It's like you don't realize like all medicine comes from the earth in the first place, right? So they have to make it from some earthly thing. You can't just, they don't, where do they get medicine from? So medicine comes from our resources, so the nature is medicine, and sun is medicine and being outside and taking care of yourself, but people don't have the time to do it. And then they just rely all, I'll get the quick fix. Everything's always, let me go shopping to fill the void. Let me just run to the doctor and they'll give me some pills and I'll just get by another day. And it's like these quick fixes and there's no you don't have that void. You don't have that space. You don't have that separation from from the world to be able to figure this stuff out.
And interesting you brought up about natural food and medicine, because I was recently watching a video. I don't remember exactly where, but the shamans in the Amazon rainforest, they literally say they speak to plants, and those plants tell them what properties they have, what medicinal properties they have. And that's how they know what each plant does.
That's amazing.
So all the esoteric medicines that they have brought about in their traditions are based out of just speaking when they are, you know, in this transcendental state with ayahuasca and the plant speaks to them, and they're literally able to see through.
And then
you
when
know,
they hear it, they
the
test
the
it
veil
out.
That we have, right? Where
veil.
We say, oh, plants don't speak.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think there's certain things that I feel like you could find those ideas everywhere. Because even when you watch like a movie like Avatar, and like they're talking to the plants, like they're connected to, you know, I forgot what, AWA or something. And they're just like
right.
talking to nature, and they're connected with nature. But that's 100% true. And like, I love that you're bringing this up, because I've always, I wanted to see if you probably know about this too, but like, the fact that humans are more alike in chromosomes to mushrooms than they are to, like, mushrooms
yes.
are more like humans than they are to other plants.
They are our ancestors.
Isn't that? I mean, thank you for oh my God, I love that. So we're going to have a fun time with this. But I feel like the crazy thing is when you think of ayahuasca and you think of these shamans having these transcendental thoughts and thinking about certain types of mushrooms that are our ancestors, you know, they have, it's like they get our mind to expand and open and think more creatively and think of things we never mm-hmm. would have thought of if you didn't have that open creative thinking. So it's almost like by doing these things, you actually have these epiphanies, and it almost creates the evolution of humanity, because people have some thoughts that are like life-changing, and then they shape the future. So they say the same way that mushrooms shape forests, like the network, the mycelium network is like
the
root network of the mushroom. They speak to each other, and they say, oh, if we want this environment to be different, they can tell if they need if there's like a predator or something that's killing the forest, they like attack around it, and somehow they create and shape the forest is what I know. Like mm-hmm. they can create a more thriving environment for more different plants to grow. I don't know exactly how it works, but I just know that they have something to do with the way that that predators, like they can almost like create toxins, I think, for certain insects.
I think that's
bad,
it.
And they can make the insects, you know, poison themselves and die, like just because the way that they communicate and talk, and they say, okay, we're going to release this now and evolve. And I don't know how it's almost like they're alive. And then that's why I've even heard mushrooms are super good for you to eat, you know, because they have so many different, you know, nutrients in them that, that are good for us. But, that's what's also interesting about Bitcoin, because I actually reached out to, I don't know if you've heard of Brian Quintum, I think his name is. I don't know if you've heard of him. But I could share his page with you. But he,
right.
I remember reading about this when in my early Bitcoin days. He calls Bitcoin the mycelium of money.
Oh, nice.
And,
interesting.
Yeah. And he agreed to be on the show too. We haven't set a date yet, so I'm really excited to talk to him about it. But he's written like a blog about it. And it's a really interesting, like you'd definitely like to read it. But it's literally like he's like, because it's the mycelium of money, like we are connected through that network when we are connected to Bitcoin. So it's like almost like just a crazy, I haven't read it in a while, so I really want to get back and refresh my memory before I have a talk with him. But just the way that networks work, the way that mycelium works, the way that Bitcoin works is just something that is how nature works. And it's like so mind-boggling.
Yes. Yes, and that absolutely. And so it almost feels like Bitcoin was kind of inevitable, just like how the yin and yang, the symbol of yin and yang,
yes,
was one of the first things that came out of the, let's say, the Big Bang. So when the universe began, it began with the Big Bang, it did so. But it created these opposing forces, but also complementary. So they have to be in existence to sustain each other, to have that meaningful symbolic yin and yang,
right,
that we so seen, you know, in pop culture. But similarly, like because we created fiat, which was like the dark force of monetary network, we needed to have a Bitcoin network to kind of counter it and balance these two, balance like the universe that we would want to kind of live in.
I wish you could
And
see my
so
mind like doing what it's doing right now.
it was kind of inevitable. I think we didn't quite, at least I couldn't conceive it. But when I started questioning, that's when I really found Bitcoin. I really didn't know how it was. It like I said earlier in my other conversations with our group, it took me an entire pandemic to really figure out, that there's something called Bitcoin and there is a solution to this problem. Otherwise, it was always like, what is money? What is inflation? Or where's that? There's this book that I have that I got as a compliment, and it says, "What has government done to our money?"
Yes.
So it's by the Mises Institute, and they sometimes give away these complimentary books. It's a very nice short read, but it's important questions to ask, and but we did have answers
You're right.
to these questions, and it so happened that it had to take me a pandemic. It had to take Satoshi, the global financial crisis, to really roll it out, because then he's like, hey, I have a use case that's going to solve all your problems. But if he had got this earlier, I think people would have not appreciated it as much.
Yeah, and I think that that's when you were saying about the yin yang, it's like the dark side of fiat is greed, like the human greed. If human greed didn't exist, you wouldn't have this solution that came out. We would have not never had Bitcoin because we wouldn't have had human greed. So that whole entire thing about like human nature, if human nature wasn't the way it was, we wouldn't have had this opposite ended thing that was created. That's just magnificent and unhuman. It's like inhuman. It's almost like superhuman.
Correct.
And then you wonder if some part of me wonders, like the enlightenment part that Satoshi had, whoever he, she, or group of them was, who knows if they were some people that took ayahuasca and took mushrooms that came to this
Never
realization.
know.
Because this problem of cryptocurrency. They were studying it for many years, since the 70s, I think they were trying to develop it, and they couldn't finish the last pieces of the puzzle, and then Satoshi came around and finished it. And you wonder that was this some sort of, X, like what if, okay, my mind is, I'm crazy, and I'm a, tinfoil hat stuff, but it's like, what if the mushrooms created Bitcoin? Because mushrooms gave Satoshi this, mind, like, oh wow, I never thought of that before until I had, like the psychedelic event that happened that kind of re I realized something I wouldn't have unlocked unless I did that.
That's true. It's possible. Like it, you wouldn't you wouldn't you have to be a little cuckoo to really come up with a crazy idea as Bitcoin. It was almost like we've been hearing about it since, the time of Milton Friedman, when in one of his interviews he said there's going to be a time when we'll have e-cash, and that was quite revolutionary for his time to talk about e-cash. He was instrumental in kind of talking about inflation the way it should be talked about, really. And he said, always question government budgets, like the way they do it. If they are not balancing it, it's because they're printing money. And as long as they don't address that issue, we are never going to see, no matter what the policy is, we're never going to see a solution. They're just making new terms up to kick the can down the road. That's the whole idea of most government monetary policies. It's not meant to fix any problem. Meant to like delay the inevitable. And over here in the US, it's probably less severe in terms of impact, because it is, after all, the world reserve currency. So it's the best of the West. But for those who are dependent on the US dollars to value their currency, they're pretty much screwed. Right. And so the debasement is really, and the issue is we don't seem to care much about the future. The governments of today don't care about what's going to happen to their children or their grandchildren. The maximum they're going to do is each of them are going to hoard the kind of money they need to sustain their family tree. But that's about it, right? It's still very short-sighted, and it would eventually lead to the kind of uprising we would have had during the French Revolution, where people just overthrew.
Well, and that's the crazy part, because if Bitcoin didn't come along, it would end up being this dystopian future with rich and poor. And eventually, like,
Right.
it just reminds you of like the Hunger Games, where you have like the rich society living, and then they have the poor districts that they have to go and fight each other and beg for money or whatever ha happens. But
Yes.
it's like that's definitely the dystopian types of futures that you think could happen if this wasn't invented, because yeah, you're right, they're worrying about securing, they're knowing what's going on, they're worrying about just securing their wealth for their families for the future, but the rest of the world would be in really big trouble, but you're right, if this didn't happen, it wouldn't have spurred the birth of Bitcoin, it wouldn't, the yin yang, like you needed that to do the other, it's like you wouldn't otherwise, it wouldn't be necessary. But I think it's, yeah, it comes down really to human, I don't know what the word is now. All of a sudden I'm blanking. Just like human nature. Yeah, there we go, human nature.
More like
So,
human condition.
yeah, but I can't believe what you mentioned earlier about the mushrooms too. I think sometimes I think like, I'm sure a lot of people know this stuff, but I feel like it's so great to talk to somebody who understands, like, I don't know, all these things, like about these networks and about the mushrooms being so closely connected to humans. It's just really how is that? Like, I feel like that's the curious part of my mind too, that always goes to that world, and I'm just I don't understand how that is. Like, it's just so mind-boggling.
Yeah, your brain has, your brain specifically is built to, as a, it has receptors for DMT. And the body chemical composition can be manipulated by itself to create DMT on its own. So you don't even need ayahuasca to really get into that state anymore. Those who experience kind of kind of otherworldly kind of feeling during meditation, it's just their body releasing the right kind of chemicals for them to feel exactly like as though they're on some kind of these external stimulants. So ayahuasca is one of the ways of doing it.
Yeah, and I
It's
think
a
sorry, my daughter's over there waving at me. But I think that's the thing, the presence can be like a blissful feeling, and I think that feeling when you're very, very present and you're very grateful and like those things when you release the stress, like I feel like those things are something that you can experience, like the endorphins sort of like after like working out, or I feel like even after doing like a really hard, I used to do like hot yoga, and I just feel like there was times that I'd come home and I'd tell my husband, I'm like, I felt like I was floating away. Like I was like, after I was laying there afterwards, I literally
Right.
felt like I was like my body was spinning, and I felt like not fast, but just I was like not on earth. I was just like kind
You were floating away. Yes,
of,
you do get that feeling.
yeah. And it was like I felt like I was almost like on the other side of the room, just kind of like free, and like I'm like, whoa, this is that what that is? Is that what like it feels to just be totally released of stress and worry, when you do something like that, like you, is that, I feel like that probably is that the DMT or is that like endorphins? Like what?
It's probably one of the hormones. It could be endorphins. It kind of muscle relaxant, so it relaxes your muscle to the point that you feel like you're floating. your nervous system relaxes as well at the same point. And you finally get, it's like those happy hormones of, okay, now I can relax. I've done all the hard work. So it's rewarding you for doing the hard work. Those are
Yeah.
the kind of reward systems that we have built into ourselves to keep ourselves in good shape and whatnot. And the same system can be hacked to kind of kill ourselves as well, like with bad habits, like eating, processed food and whatnot.
Because that's
We
addicting as
can,
well, right? Like those
yes,
systems.
yes. So we are a culmination of all our choices, but it depends on like, yeah, what choice do you pick, right? You become pretty much a product of your choices for the same reason, because you're kind of rigging the dopamine system to work for you or against you
That's, I love that
in
you said
whichever way.
that too, because we're a product of our own choices. So when it comes down to people that have that negative outlook on life or positive outlook on life, when some people just feel like that everything is against them or they just have this negative feeling, it takes somebody to actually speak the words out loud or actually tell themselves, I'm going to make a change today and just do it, because thoughts go into words, go into actions, and if you just do something, then you can change your environment. You could change your the trajectory of your life, but if you just get stuck in these thoughts that you feel like you're trapped and you feel like you have no hope, you feel like that's literally what your life becomes too. So you have to just like be this person that speaks words and has thoughts that cause you to have actions that are positive for your future. Because I think that in the most of the fiat world, like, they're too busy. There isn't enough time to stop and think that you're just stuck in this negative state that you don't have the ability to kind of get out of it. It's like hard to dig your way out of that hole. When you feel like all you're seeing is like you're just barely, it's like it keeps you like struggling for the next day to get by, to live paycheck to paycheck. So it's hard for you to think, oh, everything's great, like you're for people who are just struggling, so you get trapped. Like you're literally trapped inside where you have to break through and just think, you know what? Like, I'm just gonna make the best of it and just be stop struggling and stop fighting and just almost like accept and just be grateful for things that you have. And then I think then you can find the road to Bitcoin, which is a currency that is not to hurt you as time goes on. It's a currency that is it's a network that's going to grow and be better for everybody instead of just kill, like, die slowly. And there's this quote that I thought like was an interesting quote too, just that reminds you, like, dying slowly is like, I heard a quote the other day that said the world will end in more of a whimper, or I forgot what the quote was. I think I had like posted it today. But it,
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
I think, yeah, it won't be a big bang. It'll die out as a whimper.
Yeah.
I think it's about I forget
It was like
who actually
Hollow
said
Man or T. I posted it earlier today. I wish I would have written it down. But yeah, it's like I feel like when I think just the world will end, I think the fiat world will end instead of a big bang, it'll be a whimper. And I feel like that's kind
Yeah,
of.
I think it'll be a slow and gradual like decoupling. From the fiat mindset, we are kind of born into it, so we don't really know what it is to be outside of that system. So we have to think we have to probably like go out of our minds to really get into the Bitcoin consciousness, because otherwise like, we are stuck in always thinking in terms of fiat. Even those who feel very excited about like $1 million Bitcoin, I think it won't make sense at some point, because if Bitcoin is $1 million, then what is the fiat worth, like really? Like
Well,
$100 won't be worth,
I have some thoughts
I
on
don't know,
that.
$50, I guess.
Yeah, I have thoughts on that.
Yeah.
People think that like once Bitcoin gets to a million, that's going to make like you're gonna need like a wheelbarrow full of money to go buy groceries, type of thing. But part of me, I have a different, like a different outlook on that. I do think Bitcoin will continue to rise in terms of fiat because fiat will continue to be printed, not maybe as a at a fast rate like it has been. Maybe it'll slow down with this government efficiency stuff they're doing. But what I do think is that with the economy truly not being Wall Street, but being production and labor, that's like what true economies are. When you have an increase in production and labor to the point where it's like an abundant amount of that, when we have AI and robotics and we can produce so much more, it brings prices down. So I think even as far as how much dollars are circulating in the world, that'll mean how much Bitcoin is worth because that's how much will be printed. But I don't necessarily think the value, or I don't think you'll be able to buy a lot less with that fiat currency because of the increased, because I feel like we're in this technological revolution. I really feel like we're seeing a huge shift in production labor. I think that before this age that we're entering, I think that humans were necessary to be these workers. They needed people to just be, I don't know, the slaves and to keep grinding it out till you're 75 years old and work every day because you had to. But now it's like with the less and less jobs, or people are going to be losing more and more jobs to AI and robotics. But I think that people think that's such a terrible thing. But I think it would actually shape the world for a better future because you will have Bitcoin, you will have this, and you will have more free time as a human being to take care of your body and yourself and do things that you want to do because there will be almost like a universal basic income kind of at that point. And I do think that the value of eggs won't go like to the moon because you know what I mean? Like I feel like there's going to be so much like supply and demand. When there's more products available, the price can't be astronomical. So I think that it will be a boom like we haven't seen. I really think AI is going to melt faces the same way Bitcoin will melt faces.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point, actually. Was it recently that Elon was talking about the same thing where he's kind of promoting his Optimus robot, and that's what he says, like in the end, everything is going to be replaced by these robots who can do pretty much everything. At this point, I think he's thinking of like it can be like a house help and do
Yeah.
like iron
Well, and I know
your
people get scared of
sheets.
that. Yeah, I know people they get freaked out by that, but I know in the last podcast I mentioned that AI scares me less because Bitcoin exists. Because I think that if it wasn't for AI, if it wasn't for Bitcoin, I think that AI would grow and it would just be like corporations owning it only and the richest people of the world and manipulate what we think and see and whatever. But I think what because Bitcoin is there, I think a lot of stuff can get plugged into this decentralized network. And I don't feel like it would be as scary of a world. But also, I do remember watching that like a few years ago when before the Optimus, like they just had that guy dancing on stage that was pretending to be an Optimus.
Right.
I remember watching that presentation and I remember Elon, he's the one who said where it just stuck with me that the economy is not the stock market, the economy is production and labor. That's when
Exactly. Yep.
he said those words like, what happens if we have unlimited amount of production and labor, and
Yep.
that's when universal basic income would come into play. And I 100% believe that. I know that some people they think, you don't trust billionaires and all this stuff, but I do feel like the way that it's shaping our future, it has to be that way. And that's probably why I believe that stable coins like XRP and all these people that push this stuff, I don't like it. But I think just like how you said, yin yang, like I
Right.
don't like it, I don't want it. But I think when this world comes into play, when this new world is shaped and comes out and we see what's happening, I think when it does come time for this universal basic income, which could happen faster than we think because of how fast technology is growing, I think that they're not going to give it to you in Bitcoin. They're going to give it to you in like an XRP or a US dollar coin. And those are the coins that
Right.
people in our space don't like. They don't like central backed digital currencies because those coins will just be enough for you to be like, okay, you can live a decent life. You'll be okay. You don't have to work your butt off forever, but you'll be okay. But you won't be thriving, kind of probably, because they'll give you just enough to be fine with. And but you can't invest this money. It's not like this currency would be something, it could be programmable where you can only buy necessities, but you can't buy, investments like, stocks or Bitcoin. So it'd be like anyone who's already had Bitcoin prior to that stage will be able to increase their generational wealth. Like anyone who has it prior to that will keep benefiting, but anybody who had not gotten into it and didn't open their eyes and understand, they will be in the central bank digital currency life,
True.
and they will be accepting, this universal basic income, and they'll be just thankful for it, but they won't be creating generational wealth ever for the future. It'll just be like a future where everybody's just kind of like, I don't know, not poor but not rich. They're just, maybe they're decent. I don't know how it's going to be, but I just feel like that's
No, I
the.
think they will be incentivized to create products that are meaningful for Bitcoiners.
Right. It'll create, yeah, it'll be
And
more
so that
greed
they
for
can earn their sats,
them.
because we as Bitcoiners might want to, we won't be okay to part ways with our sats if it's not worth it.
Right.
But if those who are looking out to kind of bail themselves out from the central bank, right? Just like how the bank bail gets bailouts from
Yes.
the government. Like, I think Bitcoin is our bailout from the central banks.
Right. And I think you're
Yeah.
right. It'll have people like back, like, years ago when people used to take pride in their craftsmanship and have really
Right.
well built things. 'Cause you see that happening kind of more and more
Amazing
now.
architectures.
Yeah.
If I go like Spain or something,
Yeah.
right? I get to see such great architecture, which I
Yeah.
don't get to see now. Like, people just build
Right.
stuff that's lifeless.
And that's what I think. Yeah, the future will be a lot more of that lifeless stuff, unless the people that are being paid, hey, I do have this amazing craft and I have time to hone this craft and I will be
Right.
a builder of the world. And yes, I can get paid in Bitcoin from Bitcoin people because I have this amazing craft that people will pay me for. But I think, yeah, that's where it comes into play, where you can choose to work if you want to and create something great that people will pay you Bitcoin for. And that's how those people create their generational wealth for their families. But if you're not going to go out there and be a builder after that day comes, then you're just going to be accepting and just decent, whatever. But you either choose to become somebody that creates something of quality. And it brings us back to those times where people, like anything you think, we used to be made of solid wood, like furniture. And it's like now it's all pressed wood and cheap, it's like just like architecture, like you said. So it's like I feel like it would bring back a lot of that old-fashioned human-made stuff,
It would bring back human ingenuity for sure, because then we are not really worried about what am I going to do, how am I going to put food on the plate. That's the primary concern these days, right? What will I do if I don't have my next paycheck? That's the biggest question mark everybody has. People will stop worrying about, what's going to happen, because they will be provided for, and start using their time even out of boredom. Sometimes boredom is a great thing, because then you get bored enough that you bring out your inner genius. To kind of solve, even if it's like the littlest of problems, it solves a problem. So you can still be one of those little geniuses on the side, just simply out of boredom, and it still works out, because humans don't, they hate stagnation. I think
Well, the creative
it's a
mind.
dream for everybody to feel like, if I have like all the time in the world, I'm gonna like go on beach vacations and go on these cruises and whatnot. But I think at some point it's going to be the most boring
Right.
thing ever after a while, and we don't get the same dopamine hit,
Well, people like to be
and so we need.
proud. You like to be proud of what you create. And that's why I do,
You're right.
even when I think about that kind of a future, I think of me, I still love my profession. I love to make people feel good. I love to create, like with the hair, I like to make people, because it makes them feel good and it spreads good energy. And I love my actual job in creating. And I think that if I didn't do it, I'd be very bored. I would still do it, I mean, part time, just like maybe 1 or 2 days a week or something, just to kind of like still do it. But I still would love to do it. And I think it still makes me happy. And I think people would get that same sort of feeling when they do something that helps others, like, oh, Like anything you create, if it makes people feel like, oh, thank you, I really needed this, it makes me like happy that you made this. Like you get it's a very rewarding experience, and that makes you
Right.
feel good, and you do something that's productive with your time besides just taking care of your health and yourself. And it's like you can also just, yeah, find really cool ways to contribute and create. And I think in that type of a future, human creativity is valued, you know, because when you have so much AI and robotics, you know, they can they're mimics or they're mirrors of the human world, you know. So if you don't have humans creating and doing more new things, they wouldn't have more to learn and consume and learn from. But I think that we are different in that way, where, you know, you have this creativity and this craftsmanship, and it would give people more time to be more creative. So we would see so much of more creative world. You know, even when it comes to this type of economy, like a creator economy, where people do more talking like we are and just having profound thoughts and having really good conversations, it would give people more time to do those things. So yeah, it's just a really, I think it's something you look forward to. So I think it's not a scary thing. I think whatever is happening, it's like necessary. So
True. And even if it's scary, I think it's sometimes necessary, even if it is, because just like the pandemic, kind of, I think a lot of people kind of opened up their eyes after that, to government control and alternatives to kind of managing our finances. I think the next whatever crisis sprouts right out on the streets is going to be, another opportunity for us to learn something different. That's how probably we'll get to kind of unite, just like how we did in the pandemic,
that's what I think.
and then.
Sometimes they're so used to spreading the fear to control, but the more they're spreading fear, or the more that things, you know, happen, that we get scared, we get into that dark place where we have that fear and we're facing those fears, then you almost get more people that awaken out of it. So it's almost like a control. It starts off as a control thing, but then it turns into people facing the darkness and then just coming out with you know, more enlightened outlook, and you get free of it. You actually are free from the grips of it.
Yes, and that's how the balance works, right? So if there is too much yin, there's a little bit of someone who's gonna create yang, and then the same thing happens if the other way,
Yeah, and same
it's
thing with like waves, like ocean waves. I always think of like a wave crashing, and it crashes hard, but then that momentum pulls back and then creates like another wave, you know. So it's like there's always going to be, with every crash, there's like so much more momentum and like pull back, like with like undertows. Like I think you could find lessons everywhere when you look in nature, you know. Like a lot of things are something that you can get an understanding of how people are and how life moves, you know. Very, it's very
And it
fun. And
moves
if
in waves. That's true. We are very wavy, even in our emotions. Like it, we're never stuck at one. We're not always blissful. We are not always, irritated. It's gonna be like it comes in waves. It comes and goes in waves. Enjoying it is probably a key element that we tend to miss. Usually, we don't really get to celebrate most of it because we are kind of in the emotion. But if you step yourself out, and you do the whole observer becomes the observed kind of state, then you really start in like celebrating even when you're at your lowest.
You're right.
It's kind of a twisted logic when I see it from a three-dimensional space. But or even four dimensional, like in terms of like fourth dimension is the time, and time is in itself is a concept. It's not really a thing.
Yeah.
It's just our way of kind of taking a slice out of a moment and say that this is what it is.
I can
But
get
time in
stuck on
itself
time.
is not really a thing of measurement. It's just that we're trying to space out different events, and that's why we use time. Otherwise, it doesn't really mean much.
I think that I always get baffled by the idea of time because I think of time being intertwined with space, and I think of that's why when you think of time travelers, you think of space travelers or something. But I just feel like it's hard to, I could get stuck on the idea of time for a very long time. Like I feel like I'm always like, it's just a crazy, crazy idea because it is a construct. It really is just the way I mean, it's based on something. It's the way the planets are moving around the sun and stuff like that, but it's just still, it's a man-made, thing just because of us observing the way the movements are happening and just putting it on paper or like, keeping track of it or something, But it's all based on the sun rising, really that's what it is, but it's just a crazy thought. But yeah, I love having these conversations. I'd like to talk to you. I feel like every time I have someone on here, I'm like, I want to talk to you again. So if you ever want to come back, I feel like we can talk about time for like a whole episode. So it's like,
Oh yes, I have. Yeah, I probably have. I can write an entire book on it,
oh my God, that's
pretty
amazing.
much.
Yeah, I would love that. I feel like that's just such a, and I think that would be great too, because it's not just time in physics. Time is also what Bitcoin is, because we always talk about Bitcoin as being our time
Yes.
saved.
Oh, we can do that. We can do Bitcoin in time,
Yes, yeah, I would love
because
that.
that would be a great topic to
Yeah, because I
pick.
feel like it's just explaining how that is just amazing. So definitely we'll keep that in mind for next time. I'm gonna reach out to you again for that. So thank you so much. This I we could go on forever, I feel like. See? And I had a really great time talking to you, and I'm so glad you did this. And
I am super elated. I'm glad I did
yes, awesome. I'm glad. And I'll be letting you know when I'll be posting it soon. Thank you for joining me. This has been such a crazy awesome talk. I feel like there's so much that I feel like I'm having a hard time even like compressing it in my mind. Like what it was so many good topics. So I loved it. It was very insightful, and I look forward to having you on again. Well,
Right.
thank you
Thank you. Thank you,
everybody.
Stacy. Honor is all mine.
And I'm gonna link your profile down below too. So Jeeves the Curious, I'm gonna put that in the links, and I will, if there's any other links you want to send, I could always link those down below too for people to.
No, that's the only space I really am active on.
Okay.
So X is my space.
Okay. X is MySpace. The new MySpace. Well, thank you so much, everybody. Nice seeing you, and I'll see you again next time. Take care.